Good morning. Glad you're here this morning. It's a great day, isn't it? Great day to be alive, great day to worship, great day to be able to come together as God's people and in a corporate way. I always look forward to Sundays. You guys know I do. I really do look forward to all of that. Let me just mention that this coming Wednesday night, I want to challenge some of you this Wednesday night. I failed to mention it last week. Paul was gone and I was running all kinds of crazy. But this coming Wednesday night, we have a concert of prayer scheduled. It's at 6:30. It'll be an hour. For those of you who have been in the church for a while, every so often we do a concert of prayer. Now, for some, that may scare you, like, oh, no. But let me just tell you, it's a wonderful, glorious time. It is absolutely just a wonderful time. And we'll be praying. Some of the people from Tracy will join us. This week, we'll be praying for a number of things, for personal issues, but as well as for our church. Our first church in Tracy, for things that are going on in the world. But I want to encourage you to be here at 6:30. Now, if it stretches, some of you say, oh, you're not going to, you may be made uncomfortable, but that uncomfortableness will be brought upon by you. It will not be forced upon by us. So it's a concert of prayer Wednesday night. If you're, well, you're welcome to be here. I know we have some life groups, and life groups have the option. If they want to meet, they can meet. If they want to come to a concert of prayer, they can do whatever they'd like to do. It's up to them. But the Wednesday night, so I encourage you to be here. It's just, I'm telling you, it is just a great, great time as we celebrate through prayer and as we come before Him with the issues of our heart. We have been dealing with the last few weeks just the issue really of looking at missions and at the world. And we had Shabbat last week. We had areas of missions around us, the things that people can get involved in, the things that we can do. We've looked at different elements and different areas regarding mission. And this message today, quite frankly, has been on my mind and in my heart, and not knowing, I hope I can convey in some ways some of the things I've been thinking about it. But the issue is really for me, as we've come to missions, everything imperative we talked about last week with Shabbat, there's an imperative given in Matthew, and that is to go. And really, it's not just going, it is to declare, right? That we are to declare. Now, declare, that's quite a word. And I've been wrestling with that word and running that word over. And one of the things that we declare, it says to speak with force and clarity, with certainty and intensity. That's to declare. Now, not everyone declares, right? There's just some of our personalities or some of our issues. Not everyone declares, and not everyone declares the same thing. And some don't declare at all, some people, to declare. As I started just, man, taking that phrase, that word, and going through, I went through the word and went through the Bible where it talks about all the times it talks about to declare. I think the most interesting is Job. He looks to his friends and he says, listen, you've been all this talk, declare, and then he leads it back with, if you really know. If you really know, go ahead and declare it. But right now you're talking. But declare it if you really know it. Now some, they don't declare. They just suggest. May I make a suggestion? I just want to make a suggestion because they're afraid that if they took a stand and made a declaration, that may be too confrontational. I don't want to declare something, so they just make suggestions. And they don't want to be argumentative. And so it's kind of like, well, you're welcome to have what you believe, so I'm just going to suggest a couple things here. And in business and in life, sometimes that's really good. That's a great way to go. It's not bad. And some people just choose to suggest. So they make suggestions. And the suggestions are usually optional choices. Some go beyond suggestions and they make proposals. They make proposals. Well, let me propose a number of things. Or let me propose this. And it's almost like when I make a proposal, when we say that, when I make a declaration, it's pretty personal, isn't it? If you're going to make a declaration, it's usually something that you believe in. It's about, I declare. But when we talk about proposals, it takes a third person kind of approach, doesn't it? Well, let me propose this. And the proposal means it may, you know, it's not personal. We can take it, leave it. But let me propose this. And let me propose that. And so they go beyond suggestions and they give proposals. They step back. They give ideas. Maybe it's how to fix the problem, maybe, which may be great. Maybe it's to resolve a conflict. They look at all the... And many times when we have proposals, and that issue, not like, yeah, will you marry me? That's a proposal. But when we talk about communication, proposals, really what they're looking for is consensus, right? We look for consensus when we talk about, let me propose this. Can we agree upon that? And we look upon agreement, so let me propose certain things. There are others. Some use definitive statements, authoritarianism. They make announcements. Perhaps, usually, definitive statements or announcements are about themselves or about any given area, but not always. It usually, quite frankly, that definitive statement is an opinion. And often, it's on the spur of the moment. I have people in my life who communicate by definitive statements. And sometimes, I just look cross-eyed at them. Like, did you really realize what you just said? I'm never taking a shower again. That's bad for you and worse for me, okay? But we talk about definitive statements. I am never going to eat meat again. Now, for some, they make that statement. It's declarative. What's bad about declarative statements is that oftentimes when we make a declarative statement like that, it's not just saying, D, I will never eat meat again, and therefore you shouldn't either. They add that to it, right? You with me? They make a judgment on that declarative statement. Well, if it's good enough for me, that should be the way it is for everybody, and they live by this definitive statement. I would never drive a Ford. Ah, crap, I was just going to give you a brand new Ford. Well, I will change my definitive statement. I will never drive a Ford unless it's given to me free. I mean, some people usually will make some definitive statements. Some of you may rule that way. I watched, in studying for this, I don't know if it was on Facebook or if I was, it was for Father's Day, actually, coming up. So I've been watching different things about Father's Day. And one of them was, what if our definitive statements we really followed through with? So some of them were, I'm really going to give you something to cry about. Or one I love was they were driving down this interstate, four lanes going, and the dad says, if you don't stop, I'm going to turn this car around right now. And you get the picture here, driving down four lanes, crowded. Is he going to turn it around right there? Now, we don't really mean that, but that's a definitive statement. And we oftentimes live by those, and certain people live by those, declaring. But understand, folks, that we can declare a lot, but just because we declare it doesn't make it true. And many times, declarative statements, unfortunately, they often come from a person who's very forceful, this forceful personality or this powerful issue. But declarative statements don't have to be made with force. They don't have to be made by personality. Declarative statements can just be a statement of fact, and it can be very much power under control. Meekness, that's what meekness is power under control. The declarative statements we say, and just because we say something doesn't mean we know for sure or we even know what we're talking about. I mean, how many people do you know that perhaps you are adept or an expert in a field, and somebody will come in and they'll look and they'll make definitive statements, and you'll say, have you ever even looked at that? No, but that's the way it is. Now, this is going someplace, and I hope I can make this transition here. But just because we say something, just because we speak it, or just because someone else says something in a declarative statement doesn't make it true. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to just say, well, he made it forcefully, and they made it and true. Man, we're in a political nightmare right now. Everybody's making definitive statements, and most of them mean nothing. Okay? That's as political as I'm going to get. But I'm just telling you, you talk about definitive statements, that's where we hear all these statements, they mean nothing. And it doesn't mean that it's true. But there must be a basis for truth. To declare truth, in this day and age, we've lost all the issue of there are no more absolutes. There are people today, you say you cannot make a definitive statement about anything. Think about it. About anything and anything anymore, you cannot make a definitive statement because all they say is that you're closed-minded or narrow-minded. Instead of studying the issues, what is the basis for truth today? Well, I believe the basis for truth is found only in God's Word. It is God's Word. And yet some of you in our own church, I don't want to start preaching here because I'm getting wound up. But some of you and some in sitting in our church will debate even that you cannot say by declarative statement that God's Word is true. It's absolute. It's infinite. It is God's Word. You say, well, parts of it are. Or certain ones. Well, I guess you pick and choose. But what is the basis? What does the Bible declare. We use the Word of God. We declare the Word of God to be true because it's based on the fulfilled promises that God has made. Listen, I want to study. There was a time in my life where I thought, you know, this just doesn't make sense. Things don't make sense. I want to study for myself. But when you go back and you see the promises that were made, the prophecies that were fulfilled hundreds of years made before they were actually come about, before they came about, and you read that and you see that that God's word has been true and fulfilled, and it is being fulfilled. And if it hadn't been, then I'd say throw it away. Let's read the Sears catalog. If that's what it is, but it is true. What was said has happened. And so I started looking through, and we don't have any time at all to do this in a long fashion. But I want to look at some of the declare, as we declare the word of God to be true, what does God's word declare? Just to get a sense of this. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 23. Sing to the Lord, all of the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. What are we to declare? His glory among the nations. His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. In most translation, that gods is little g. Because there is no other God. It's the false idols of gods that we make. Declare his glory. Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. In fact, in Romans it talks about the fact that the heavens alone, the things that we see condemn us, that we would know there is a God and a need for a God. The heavens themselves declare the glory of God. Psalms 96, verses 1 to 4, we looked at this. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. You go on in that passage and it even talks about, for all the gods, small g, of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord all that is due. God's word says that we declare the glory of God. And I mentioned this last week with Shabbat. I am thankful that God wants to be a personal, intimate God with me. I am thankful that as we sang Abba, Father, the point of that is that there was a new context of God, that he wasn't just a spirit being up in the heavenlies and didn't want to be involved in the affairs of man, which is what they thought. They thought he was a God, he kind of kicked the ball rolling, and now you're on your own, but he really doesn't care about your life. But we have that desire, and God has that desire to have an intimate relationship with each of us. And I'm thankful for that. But I think we have lost something, and we're talking about evangelism, especially with missions and charity people, what God has done. But I do believe that we have gone so far to one extreme of sharing what God has done in our life, and that's true. But it's not an option that what this has done in my life versus what has been done in your life by somebody else. We need to come back at one point to declare the glory of God, a majestic God, the creator of the universe, a powerful God. That God, the creator of all the universe, wants that we declare the only one worth worship and honor, the only one worth praise. That is the God who wants to dwell within us. And I think sometimes we lose that in this age of so much diversity and so much of the issue of, well, just let everybody believe what they want to believe. No! Did I make myself clear? There's one God. And we're to declare his glory. We are to set his salvation day after day. What are we to declare? Some are just, there's people who are loud and powerful, but it doesn't mean they know what they're talking about. Some declare based on fad, the current rage, the mood of the moment, or emotion. You didn't hear too much prosperity gospel being preached in the Great Depression. Even in worship, we can sing to our heart, oh, I love the Lord, and oh, some declare, you know, but in our hearts, is that what's there? Do we really believe that? Do we understand who we are ascribing worth and praise to? Some declare, they make declarative statements in anger. Uh-oh. And some even will declare the word in anger. And you all know when you're in anger and you ring that bell, you say the words that ring the bell that can never be unrung. And those words will cut, those words will hurt, those words will separate what are the issues of our life within that, and how do we declare? What are we to declare? Psalm 71:8. Did I give that to you, Marva? If not, I'll look it up. There you go. My mouth. What are we to declare? My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. You know what? That's what we're to say. But beyond that, it goes to the heart of attitude. The attitude of our life every day ought to be, my mouth is filled with the praise, declaring the splendor of God all day long. We ought not to be Eeyores of the world. Oh, well, my bacon wasn't done enough this morning. We need to have our mouths filled with the praise of the splendor of God. It starts with an attitude of realizing the God of the universe longs to dwell within you and does dwell within you if you know him. What are we to tell? There is only one God and only one way. There is only one God. There is only one way. Now I realize for some, even here, you don't need to sit there and say, oh, well, everybody here agrees with that, because there are many who don't. And I can make some statements today. I'm choosing not to, but we've seen just recently where the issue of being religious, the issue of being, it doesn't matter what faith, just any faith. But John 14 says there's only one God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Only one way. And I know in our society today of pluralism, where we think everything goes, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere, you can be sincerely wrong. There's only one way. What we need to declare is there is only one God. There's only one way. We need to declare the greatness of our God. It needs to be in our mouth that our God is not a weak, anemic. In fact, our God is a jealous God, it says. There are no other gods, small g, before him. Now, am I basing this on the issue of just what my own life believes, what my opinion is? And I was telling somebody this morning, my opinion really means nothing. Nothing. Unless it's based upon the absolute truth of the Word. And I believe the absolute, as I've already said, the absolute truth of the Word, it stands on its own. It doesn't need me. God justified his own word. What he said has happened and is coming true. If you don't believe it, then turn the TV off and start studying God's word about what has been said and what has happened. Look at what is done and what has been done. But we need to declare the greatness of our God. We need to declare the desire of God. What is the desire of God? The desire of God is that no man perish, but that all should come to him. That's the desire of God, that he longs to have a relationship with us. We need to declare the plan of salvation by grace. That we have a gospel of grace. Listen, not this next, we have a series, two series from now. We are going to be talking about the differences, the authenticity of Christianity, of what Christ says in comparative religion issues. But you're not going to find others that are salvation by the grace of God. Not us, not based upon us, not on our righteousness, not what I do, not what I get on a spiritual treadmill. If I get to a certain weight, oh boy, I'm somebody. Or if I have a certain this, I'm somebody. Or if I own this, I'm somebody. If I hit so many houses, I got that. Salvation by grace. How are we to declare? Listen, this is important more than any of the other things. Because we got people declaring the truth out there, but how they do it is wrong. And remember, you often hear it's not what you say, it's how you say it. God gives us not only what we are to say, to declare his splendor, to declare his glory, to declare to the nations that he needs, that he should be served, that he should be known, that you must understand a personal relationship is necessary. But it also says that we are to declare in love. That no matter what you say, if you can't do it in love, you have said nothing of any value. And some people, you heard me say, some people, because I've had it said to me by people who say, I have the gift of confrontation. There is no such thing. We chuckle at that. And yet some in this congregation tell me that. You don't have, that's not a gift. That's a curse. We are to declare in love, but we are also to declare intentionally. Every day our mouth will be filled with the goodness and the grace of God. Isn't that what it said? Every day. We wake up in the morning, and I know some of you aren't morning people, you know, but you wake up in the morning, and for some of you that's 11, you know, you wake up and you say, hey, isn't God good? That we live in that process of seeing how good God is, and not about us, and not about our hurts, and not about all the things that were wrong. We live with intention, but we also live with intention of sharing that with others. And along with that then comes expectation. We have an expectancy about us that you expect that when you share, when you talk, when you share of the glory of God and the splendor of God, it may just be an inroad into you, expecting to see God move, expecting to be able to share. When we know Him, we are to declare. When we know Him, we are instructed to declare, but it comes so simple. The obvious answer is, where are we to share? Where are we to share? Everywhere. Anywhere your feet take you. Anywhere your feet take you becomes your mission field. It becomes your turf. With the people around you, anywhere you go, everywhere you go to share. I'm running out of time here, but let me share some things. What does God declare about us? I thought that was interesting too, because I wanted to hear what God declared about us. He says what we're to declare about Him, but He makes some great declarations that give us the reason that we can share, that we can declare. He says, first, you are chosen. Read the book of Romans, the Magna Carta of faith. Go to the book of Romans. You are chosen before the foundation of the earth, man. God chose us, we sons and daughters. He says, you are loved. Romans 8, that we are loved, that even from John 3:16, for God so loved. Romans 8, nothing can separate us from His love. He declares that He loves us unconditionally. Jesus stands before as our defense. He says, I love you. And God looks over and He sees what God has done through Him, through Christ. And within that, the greatest declaration of all is that Jesus has declared us righteous. Not based upon my righteousness. Oh, heck no. But by salvation, by grace, declared me righteous because of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Covered my sin, cleansed me from all. I love it at times when God just reinforces certain things. And yesterday, Saturdays, maybe you know Saturday nights for me are kind of the, I get in the zone. And Saturday nights, some say I'm antisocial. I'm not really antisocial. I just am in a zone, man. I'm praying, I'm thinking, I'm honing in my mind. So yesterday afternoon, I went to eat at a restaurant that I frequent occasionally. It's nothing. But some of you know I talk to everybody. I just talk. Yesterday I was taken aback because I'm watching the restaurant, and I don't know what they're called. They're called busboys, or they clean the table, whatever. This wasn't a boy. This was a young man. And so it was busy and different things, and I looked at him and I said, man, Carlos, dude, how long, you work all the time. How long do you work tonight? And he said, well, I'm working two jobs, so I don't get off until 1 this morning, Sunday morning. I said, dude. And I said, why? He said, well, I want to go on a trip. Really, where are you going to go? I'm going to go to Italy. Why are you going to Italy? Well, now all I ask is how late you're working. What does he say? I need to find a purpose in my life. And maybe I can find that at the Vatican. Carlos, why don't you sit down? And for the next few moments, for me it was a God moment. We shared, and I was able to just talk to him about, man, you know what you're looking for, you're not going to find there. You'll see the expression of it in the beginning. You need to go back and see what Jesus said and why it all began, because everything focuses on Christology, and he knew that word, and we talked about it, and talked about a purpose in life, and that what does God's desire? What is God's desire? And he flat out asked me, why is there even a need for God? And why do people search for God? What is it, and what is heaven? And he asked these questions, and I'm thinking, okay, God, where's the camera? Where's the hidden, you know, What's going on? And all it started was because I said, Carlos, what time do you get off tonight? And God can take the littlest things. If we are watching, I didn't even have to have much expectation or intentionality on that one because he smacked me with it. But do we use wherever we're seated, wherever we're walking to say, listen, they may have a need right now that this God's going to unfold before you. And the relationship, and he's going to go. And I said, man, I want you to go, and I want you to check out some of this. And I told him to check out certain things here in my travels around the world different times. He's going to go to Poland as well. I want you to go here and look at this. I want you to look at this. And when he comes back, we're gonna get together. But I thought, listen, that's what it is. I'm not responsible for his response. I'm just responsible for sharing what the desire of God is to him, what the desire of God is for his life. And folks, that's what we're to be sharing. What's your message to the world, and where's your field? Your message is that you serve and you are owned and you loved by a great God. And that's our message. And our message and our field is anywhere we go. But do you look for that? Or are you going to walk out of here and you're going to go get your hot dog at Costco or wherever you're going to go and forget totally about it, that everywhere I go, I need to be declaring the splendor and the glory of God? Isn't God good? In love and with intentionality and with the issue of looking for the expectation of sharing our faith, a true faith based on the word of God, an absolute, and not to declare it with weakness, not to declare it, but declare it in love and in truth that there is only one way and the need for people to know it. Let's pray.